If you or someone you love has diabetes, you'll be blessed by our YouTube channel called Beat Diabetes. Benedict and I conduct blood sugar tests on ourselves. I interview guests that have seen dramatic victory over diabetes. I share reviews of books and documentaries about lowering blood sugar. And I give talks about the keys to getting your A1C down in a hurry. I'm convinced that by God's grace, you can find victory in your struggle with diabetes. Go to YouTube and in their search engine, type in the words Beat Diabetes, Dennis Pollack. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 116. This psalm is especially famous, at least in my eyes, because of the first couple of verses. And so we'll read those first two verses, and then we'll later talk about some of the other verses in the chapter. A lot of the psalms are described as being a psalm of David. It's written right under the psalm number. This one doesn't say a psalm of David, so I guess we can't prove this is one of David's psalms, although it sure reads like it could be one of David's psalms. Mm. In any case, here's what the psalmist says in the first two verses. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Mm. This is a man that is joyful in the Lord, and God has done something for him, hasn't he?
Yes, God has done something great, and you will hear, you know, David, when things are not going well with him, when he's facing trouble, you will hear, you know, his writing and his lamenting will go. So in that direction, but here it's like you can, you know, feel him what he's going through right now or what the Lord is doing.
Yeah, this is kind of like post-struggle. He's been through something serious. Mm. He's called on the Lord. God has come through for him. Mm-hmm. He's received victory, received the answer to his prayers, and now he's having a praise session.
Yeah.
And he starts out, I just love the Lord. He has heard my voice and the voice of my supplications. He inclined his ear to me, and I'm going to be calling on him as long as I live. Well, God did something special, obviously.
Yeah, God did something great. And this is like, you know, for us today, teaching us like when the Lord has done something great in your life, he has answered your prayers, he's, you know, come for you when you called in time of trouble, you know, come back in prayer, in praises, and you know, anyhow you are comfortable, you know, to give him praise, give him thanks, you know, go back to God and be like, Lord, you came through for me. Yeah. I give you praise, you know.
Well,
bless you, Lord.
I like what you said. You come back to him. It kind of reminds me of those 10 lepers, and Jesus said, you know, go show yourself to the priests.
Right.
And the Bible says, as they went, they got healed, but only one came back. And he was praising Jesus and praising God and just so thankful.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. Once the Lord does do something for us, don't just carry about normal business and don't even make reference.
Yeah.
But have a praise session. Thank the Lord. Tell others what he did for you.
Yeah.
And David or whoever this was, not only is praising the Lord, he's writing it down. And it has become a psalm that Christians have been reading for thousands of years. And even before then, the Jews were reading it. So he is excited. He is thankful. Now, one of the reasons I find this interesting, some people, I think, get too spiritual. Mm. And when I say too spiritual, they act as though we shouldn't be too much seeking God for his benefits. We should just serve God because he's God. And I mean, I understand that. I get it. But the reality is God's people have always gotten excited when he comes through for them.
Yes.
You know, ideally, it wouldn't matter whether God ever did anything for you or not. You know, he's worthy of praise.
Mm.
But we're human beings. We need God to come through for us sometimes and make us aware that, yeah, he's our Father. He will come through for us. He will answer our prayers. He will give us victories. And when he does, we'll be like David or whoever this was saying, I just love the Lord. He came through for me. He heard my voice. He heard my desperate prayers. Mm. And I am so thankful. I'm going to serve him as long as I live.
Mm.
I don't find anything wrong with that. I don't think that's selfishness. I don't think that's carnal. I think that's just the way it's supposed to work. God knows we're human beings in a dangerous world where we are going to face a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And we're going to need to call on God. And God likes it that way. He likes to come through. He likes us to turn to him when we're having problems. And once he comes through and gives us the victory, he likes it when we are, like we read right here, just praising him and thanking him and saying, I'm just going to serve him all my life. You won't believe what he did for me.
Yes.
That's a healthy thing. It's like eating spinach. It's like you know, things that make you better.
Mm.
And I think every Christian, every child of God should have times in their life they can look back on and say, you know what? I was really in trouble at that point. And God came through for me in a big way. And I just praise him. I know nobody's going to talk me out of loving the Lord and believing God answers prayer, because I've seen it, baby. I've seen it in my life. And you have as well, right? You've had that experience many times.
Yes, I've had so many experiences whereby, you know, I had to speedily call on God in a different way, because there are some things you go through, like, you know, if you have been praying, like, wake up, wishy-washy prayers, like, you know, Lord, if you like, do this. Lord, if you don't like, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're fine.
Whatever is
but
fine.
There is
case
something,
sera.
I know. There is some situations you find yourself in, you know, your voice will go, like, you know, higher up, like thunder, boom, in the air. Nobody will tell you to call on God and pray, and if you have to shout to your prayer, like I do, shout it. If you have to, you know, sing your prayers, you sing it. If you, anyhow, but and at the same time, you know, when God has come, God is always there to answer our prayers. Sometimes it doesn't come as speedily as we want it, but God, you know, it has not left us. He is always wanting us to come back to him with what we are going through. We are all living our lives, going all over the place, doing all kinds of things on earth, and God is protecting us from so many things. But if you find yourself in a difficult situation, call on God in that area, and then he will answer you. And at the same time, give him praise, give him glory, and, you know, praise him and worship him. One other thing I want to, you know, throw in there before we move on is thanking God or praising God and worshiping God should be everyday thing.
Yeah.
In our lives as believers, and even all the children of God, you know, God desires our prayers. He wants us worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. And when you thank the Lord, he does more in our lives. Yeah.
And I think we need to never forget these times when God did break through and give us a dramatic answer to prayer, a great victory. You know, it's one thing when it's just happened, and then you tend to really be like we read here, I praise the Lord, you know, he came through. But even when that's 20 years in the past, it's still good to go down memory lane and think about those times. Lord, I thank you that way back in 1990, whatever, you did this for me. And in the year 2002, you did this for me.
Yeah.
And just kind of rehearse to the Lord in prayer and praise all the things he's done for you. I mean, if you've been serving the Lord for some time, you're going to have, at least you should have, kind of a record of answered prayer and victories. And so it's good sometimes to just think back in prayer and say, Lord, I know it didn't just happen yesterday. It was 20 years ago, but I'm still thankful for what you did. So he goes on to talk about what he went through. We don't know the specifics of whatever it was that was the problem for him, but we do learn it was life-threatening, because in verse 3, he says, the pains of death surrounded me, the pangs of Sheol, which in the Jewish vocabulary meant the place of the dead, where the dead go, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. So a big deal. We're not just talking about he had a little cold and then he got feeling better.
Mm.
He was in a life-threatening situation. Things looked like it could be the end.
Mm.
And he then says in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul.
Mm.
So he does what believers do. He goes, he's in trouble. It looks like it could be the end of his life. And he calls on the Lord. He goes into serious prayer. We're not talking about a little quiet, calm, 10-second prayer, or like you said, well, if you want to deliver me, that's fine. If you want to let me go through this and let me die, that's fine. Just whatever you want. I don't care. Amen. That's not the kind of prayer,
no,
is it?
That's not the kind of prayer. You know, you should pray when you are going through, you know, a tough situation. And God wants you to pray and, you know, table your prayer requests to him, and he will come through for you. It's really important. I like what you said, you know, we should have attitude of gratitude, if I may put it like that,
yeah,
when God comes through for us. And, you know, Satan is always throwing all kinds of things, you know, to the children of God, or everybody going through things, both believers and unbelievers. Everybody go through sickness, or, you know, problems or troubles, or, you know, anything creeping up from any corner, you know, hitting on you, or kind of making your life miserable.
Yeah.
But God is like, I will deliver you from this. I will see you through. I will, you know, make everything right for you. And so that is why we rely on God. We rely on God in every condition, in every situation, because he is our source of wellness, if I may say.
Amen. And that has to be our perspective. Mm. Because, you know, sometimes God will use a particular means to deliver us. Maybe he gives us an idea. When diabetes came after me, God gave me an idea about a diet and the kind of diet that beats diabetes. Mm. But I don't give glory to the concept of low carbohydrate eating. I give glory to God, who showed me those things. Mm. Sometimes he uses a person to help you, and somebody will send you some money when you're just about out of money and can barely eat. Or somebody can come along and encourage you. Mm. And we are thankful to those people, but we still look beyond them to God. And although we thank them, those people that God used, then we turn around and when we have some time with the Lord alone, and we say, Father, thank you for moving on their heart. Thank you for sending them into my life. Thank you for moving them to give me money, or to give me encouragement, or to give me an idea.
You can see condensed video versions of my devotional studies on YouTube. The graphics and the scripture verses displayed on the screen make these video devos an experience that will bless, uplift, and instruct you. Go to the YouTube website and type in my name, Dennis Pollack, and you'll quickly find our YouTube channel.
So no matter how God delivers you, whether it's through one means or another, or whether it's just totally on his own and there's no means at all, we give thanks to God. We praise God. We look to the Father in heaven and acknowledge that he has done it, don't we?
Yes, you're right. Acknowledging what the Lord has done gives, you know, other believers the idea, like, if God has done it for this sister, if God has done it for this brother, God will do it for me.
Oh.
And, you know, it helps also to motivate unbelievers, you know, to know that, oh, there is someone that we can go to, and he's our Father, he's Lord. So, you know, it kind of being like, oh, wow, look at what, you know, the Lord has done for this person. It brings more people to the kingdom if they, you know, like when Jesus was healing and preaching and teaching and doing miracles, people were flooding all over him.
Yeah.
And he acknowledged that y'all are here for the food. And the miracles.
Right.
Yeah, so I think those are kind of the means God can bring people together. And when sickness, you know, arises, which we know that is all over the place, and like in July, we were all sick and cold and miserable, but God came through for us, which we also, you know, gave him thanks and praised him for coming through for us. It was a horrible time. And he delivered us from there.
Yeah.
So we thank God for everything. And like I said, he is our Lord, and he is willing and able, like Jesus said to the sick, you know, I am willing, to get up.
Yeah, the man came to him and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He was a leper. And Jesus said those wonderful words, I am willing.
Yeah.
So he's like, if you're willing. And Jesus said, yeah, I am.
Yes.
So I think that's a word to all of us. You know, I am willing to heal. I am willing to deliver. I am willing to call to move on your behalf when you call on me.
Right.
He goes on to talk about how the Lord, verse 6, he says the Lord preserves the simple. He's like, I'm not a complicated guy. No. I'm not a super smart guy. I'm just a simple guy, but the Lord preserves the simple. Well, praise God, you don't have to be a brilliant scientist to have God answer your prayer. He'll do it for anybody, won't he?
Yes, he does.
Whether brilliant or simple.
He does it to everybody, for everybody. And I like that about God. Like, he is not selective. That is the word I can use there, selective.
Right.
You know, this group of people, I'll come for you, I'll come through for you, I'll bless you. And then this other one's not too much.
Yeah.
So he's like God of everybody. You know,
he is up in there,
you know, looking out for everybody, because you'll be like, okay, what is the, you know, sign for that? What, you know, are you basing? What is your base on telling us, you know, this? Look at the rain God gives, falls on everybody.
Yeah.
Look at the sunshine that God gave, is on, you know, all over the place. You know, every country, every nation, you get the rain, you get the sun. That's the blessings of God. You know, he's looking out for you. He makes your crops grow, and the sunshine gives us all kinds of vitamins.
Amen. So he goes on to say, I was brought low and he saved me. Well, and you almost want to say, well, tell us exactly what was the problem. You know, what were you? Was this sickness? Was this an enemy that was about to kill you?
Mm.
What was it? He doesn't tell us. And maybe there's a reason why God doesn't allow him to be specific. And the reason is, if he got too specific, we might say, okay, well, that would work for this situation, but mine is different, so that wouldn't mean anything to me. But he doesn't tell us. He just says, I was brought low.
Mm.
The pangs of death surrounded me.
Mm.
So, you know, I was in serious trouble. It was a life-threatening situation. But we don't know what it is. So we can apply it to our own situation. It may not be life-threatening. It could be marriage-threatening. It could be finances-threatening. It could threaten our joy. But one way or the other, it threatens us seriously.
Mm.
And then in verse 7, he says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So this is a guy who's come through a storm, a big storm in his life. And now the storm is over. Boy, that's a good feeling when that storm passes and the wind stopped blowing and your house stopped shaking and suddenly everything is fine again.
Mm.
He says, return to your rest. The idea is, my rest left me for a while. My rest took off and I didn't have any rest. I didn't have any peace. My life was under threat. You know, when your life feels like it could go at any moment, or you feel like you're about to lose your marriage or about to lose your health or whatever, it's hard to have too much peace when you know you're facing something serious. But now he's saying, return to your rest, oh my soul. We can relax now. Everything is cool. Everything is fine. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Verse 8, you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears.
Mm.
So the idea is, I was crying. This thing was so serious and my life was under such threat. I was crying, thinking that it was all going to be over, but you delivered my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. And then verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Mm.
Again, some people think the spiritual thing is to just say God's benefits are all going to be in heaven. We shouldn't expect much from him on the earth.
Mm.
We shouldn't ask for much. We shouldn't get too excited if he does bless us, because he's just God, and we're going to worship him because he is God, and it doesn't matter whether he does anything for us or not. But here he's talking about the blessing of being in the land of the living. Now, theologically, you and I know that the Bible tells us to be absent from the Lord, from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
And that it's actually happier there, it's better there. But being human, we all want to be in the land of the living for a while.
Yeah.
I don't care how spiritual you are. If you're 35 or 45, you're not really wanting to go at that point. That's just called being human. Now, when you're 88 or 92, or you know, you've reached old age and your body's failing you, your health is failing you, you don't feel good. A lot of times, those in that situation, people will say, "I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to stay around any longer. You've lived your life. You've lived a good old life. Now you're not feeling good, and you're ready to go." But when you're younger, you want to spend some time in the land of the living. Almost nobody would say, well, I just would rather go right now, and they're 32 years old.
Mm.
God has put that in our hearts, in our minds, in our mentality. We want to live on this earth for a while. If you're a Christian, you want to live on this earth and serve the Lord. Mm. Plus, we have relationships. We've got families, husband, wife, children, relatives, friends, and we want to spend time with them. We don't want to just leave everybody. Mm. So he's like, I'm going to be walking with the Lord, but in the land of the living. Mm. Nothing unspiritual about that, to want to live on this earth for a while, is there?
No, there is nothing wrong in living, you know, for a while and living longer in the world, because that God, you know, desires us, you know, living here on earth and having a great relationship with Him. And through us, God is doing His work on earth and doing His, you know, miracles, signs and wonders, because, you know, He specifically walks with people, and his work now, you know, being that he is doing all the work in the world, you know, through human beings, so he kind of wants the ones already in existence to live a little longer and do the work that he had called them to do. Everybody got their own calling, you know. We don't have to package our own calling and bury it in the ground and then go after other people with their callings and trying to run them down. And so everybody should pick up their own, you know, calling and run your race the way God wants you to. Right. And that is the desires of the Lord. And He will be like pleased with you. And when, you know, like you said, when we grow old and older and older and then live as long as the Lord wants us to, He will be like, welcome home, good and faithful servant. That is what everybody should be desiring. Not, you know, how many trouble did you cause? You know, you are so faithful in that.
Yeah. Now, twice in this chapter, he mentions paying his vows. Verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Mm. He doesn't mention what those vows are, but he mentions he made some vows. Now, in verse 18, he says almost the same thing. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Well, it's the exact same statement. What I get out of that is, while he was threatened and really things weren't looking good at all, he made some promises to God. He's like, God, if you'll get me out of this, you know, I'll do such and such. When he says in the presence of his people, it almost sounds like he said, if you'll deliver me, I'll tell everybody.
Right.
And I'll tell them what you did for me. And I'll make it known far and wide. I'll make it public.
Okay.
I'll declare. Kind of like your first meeting that you did in Lagos when God was moving on your heart to have a meeting. You felt God was calling you to the ministry, and you thought, well, I can't just sit in my room. I got to do something.
Yeah.
So you organized a meeting, and you called it testimony time.
Right.
Testimony time means, let me tell you what
right.
God did for me.
Oh, yeah.
And there's power. And that's what he's doing in this Psalm 116. The whole psalm is testimony time. It's like, let me tell you, I'm going to pay my vows because I promised the Lord, at least that's how I read this, I promised the Lord if he'd deliver me, I'd tell everybody. So here I am telling everybody that God has come through for me.
Right.
And I just love the Lord because he heard my voice.
Right.
Well, that's how you feel once he's come through.
Yeah. That's how, you know, I feel in my life, in my heart, you know, kind of testifying. And God was the one that kind of, you know, gave me the word testimony time. And it's like, I printed all kinds of papers and he gave me a guideline on how to, you know, do the meeting. Even with no money in my hand, I started telling everybody, this is what I'm doing. Hey, this is coming. And then they started giving me money all over the place. And before you know it, I had, you know, more money in my hand to, you know, do that meeting, which I did. And many people loved the meeting, and it was a powerful God-moving meeting. And I testified of how God healed me and how God blessed me and how God, you know, what God did and how, you know, God did it. And I think God requires us, you know, testifying of the goodness of God to people. And then through through the testimonies, many will come to Christ and many people, their faith will be restored. And, you know, their trust in God will be also restored. Like God can do, you know, great and mighty things.
Yeah. Mm. He says in verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Mm.
That's kind of a common thought, that the sacrifice we offer to God is not lambs or bulls, it is thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. So again, that's part of the public aspect of it. I'm going to be thanking you. I'm going to make this public. I am so grateful to you, Lord.
That's so good.
And really, when you wrote your book, When Destiny Calls, and you told your story, that was really testimony time. You were giving glory to God for bringing you through one challenge after another, even to the point where we finally got to know each other, and the troubles and the struggles lessened to some degree.
Yeah.
But there was testimony time. It's like, here's what God did. Now, there's different things that can bless people. Teaching the Bible, of course, is a wonderful gift that people have. But in many people's case, their calling is not so much to teach deep theological lessons. It's to say, here's what God did for me. And he has really come through for me, and he can do it for you. So as we wrap this up, we get back. I just want to repeat these first two verses that I think are so powerful. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications, because he's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, because of this, I will call upon him as long as I live.